Let me see if I've got everything unmuted. I think I did. All right. Welcome, everyone. This is episode 91. And I think it's a little bit of a special episode. As always, I try to get a bunch of dudes or dudettes together that have certain things in common. So we have like a common ground. And today, that common ground is hunting. Now, we have three guys here that are really well known for being hunters, but very different types of hunters, right? So to give you guys an idea, let me introduce them one by one. So first guest, a little bit of a mysterious figure, I would say, and feared by a special type of players in the game, which is a T-shirt pilots. They're not easily scared, but when they hear his name, Funhole, they get a little bit of a shiver back there on their spine. So, welcome, Fredrik Funhole. Then,
hi everyone, Fred is here. Masturbator, trap god, like to blow AT ships. With my friends. Stop locating my main, please. Thanks.
Then our next guest has been a bit of a hot topic recently. He maybe less so for what he kills, but with what he kills it, because he is a bit of a hyper rag lover, also known as A Ragnarok. He terrorized Fraternity and later on Horde Space a little bit, and killed a bunch of Marauders. I mean, the reason why you target Marauders, maybe we should talk about that in a few. But yeah, welcome, Mac Crackett.
Yeah, cheers. Good evening.
And then our third guest is maybe the guest I have the most in common with, because the type of hunting he does is the exact type of hunting I used to do a lot. I know. I haven't hunted rockets for a while. I don't want to say it's not my fault, but CCP has a little bit of something to do with it. But he specializes in hunting, or used to specialize in hunting at the very least. Big game stuff with Kikis, and we actually work together a bunch of times. Not too many times. I think you mostly work with Schwo, but every now and then we did work together. Until he joined in it, actually. So yeah, welcome, Lowland.
Hello.
And so I already explained, like, there's differences in hunting, right? And I think also maybe there's different reasons why people get into hunting. So, what do you guys think? What's inspired you guys to, get into maybe that specific type of hunting or the hunting in general? I don't know. Like, was there like a key moment, you think, or like a key factor where you said, like, oh shit, I want to be that guy? Or did you just develop into it, like, randomly? Maybe crack it, you got to...
Like when I joined Horde very early on playing Eve, I started going on the 1 HP fleets from Kepaf at the time, so before I joined, and I really enjoyed that shit. So it's like just hunting Rorquals all over the place, basically, like going out every day basically at that time. And then, yeah, like that just slowly developed into like hunting other stuff and doing it myself and all that. So after 2 months into the game, I joined Kepaf, I think, and been in there ever since. And then like slowly from just being a saber pilot on those fleets and stuff to like actually hunting myself, and then I've seen like blob stuff and all that. And then at some point, everyone has seen Trauma, I think, at some point, the video with the hyper rag and all that.
There's so much.
I don't know. It has a lot of views at this point.
But yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, like... Just the hyper rag blowing shit up. It was always my goal. And then just when the Marauder patch hit, And I saw, like, well, I started testing it in home space at first, but like just being able to pop them with a rack was like, seemed almost too easy to some degree, like in home space. And then after doing it like two or three times, so like wormholders would like sit on the wormhole, I would sino in and pop them on the wormhole. I was like, well, might as well try it in enemy space, since I was camping FRT space at the time. And then I just did it. Like, and then I realized, oh, this is pretty safe if I do it like this. And then I just kept doing it. It's kind of how that evolved.
Yeah.
And then while doing that, I also saw targets I couldn't kill with the rag. So I was like, well, might as well bring the hyper hell in. Started doing that as well. And then, yeah, that just became my main gameplay at some point. Like, I wasn't doing much else. So just hunting for the rag and the hell.
But how happy are you that there's no funnel hunting titans and Nullsec?
Hmm. Yeah. Like, a lot of people told me as well, because we're hanging out with the snuff dudes, obviously, and a lot of them were like, well, if you did this 2 years ago or whatever, you would be dead now. And it's like, I think true to some degree, honestly. Like, there haven't been a lot of very good attempts at like baiting out the rag and all that, but yeah, like if someone like found that's honestly the biggest fear for me. Well, not even fear, but just like, I know at some point I'm going to get baited and die, but yeah.
Would you say you already got enough kills for you to feel good about it if you lost it right now? Like the next attempt?
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah. Already a sponsor.
So I mean, that's the goal, right? You want to get enough kills under your belt so you don't feel bad about like wiping it, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, getting 100 kill marks on it would be pretty cool. I'm getting close.
How many do you have?
80
kill marks of what though? Like random stuff too, right? Yeah, like, cruisers and shit.
Well, like I also like smart bomb frigate fleets and shit. Right. Like, it's not all marauders, it's not 80 marauders, sadly. That would be fun, but
that would be insane.
Yeah, but yeah.
That's all right. How about you, Lowland? What do you think?
I was like turbo crab for the first like 6 years playing Eve, basically, and then quit for a few years, came back, joined Legacy, and then left Legacy for Dreadbomb. Met a couple guys that do a lot of blopsing and stuff in Dreadbomb, started playing with those guys, and they basically taught me how to hunt Rorquals and supers and stuff, and that's ever since then just hung out with those guys and chilled with the corp and just hunted shit.
And did you just like randomly like start flying Kikis? Like, why did you choose Kikis?
I don't really know, to be honest. I think the first Rorqual I formed for was in Quirius when Brave were there. And that's one of the reasons I met Shvo, was because we formed for a Rorqual in Quirius. I tabbed back to the character that was scouting it. And there was like 150 in it in local, and I was like, oh fuck, this dude stole our Rorqual kill.
And then wait a second, and then he invited you though?
No, and then I DM'd him, like, oh shit, yeah. If you see Rorquals in the future or anything, just give me a shout. I'm down to form for them. And then that's when it was like me, Shvo, and then Tickle had like a little DM channel where we just DM each other for Rorquals and stuff.
Yeah, and then it developed into like a bigger channel, right? Because
then we had a few more.
Yeah, so that was right at the time where actually the war was still going on and all that stuff. And Shvo was just starting out actually to start FCing, because before that he was actually not FCing. He was just like giving intel and stuff like this. And he never felt like FC. I had to actually talk him into his first fleets, and he felt like, oh, well, I can do this, right? So slowly but surely picked up FCing. And then he created, or you guys created that Discord, and it grew into some like real like hunting cohort, like, and it was like constant, like a Rorqual every day. It's not even that's normal, like a Rorqual dies every day. Like, there were several targets every day, and then like constant form ups, right? So it was like busy times.
And then it kind of died down massively. And I remember you posting in there, like, you guys need to fucking chill out because you're killing everything.
Yeah. I'm still, I mean, I don't know. I think it was already too late, right? When we had that discussion, I think, I mean, you say I shouted, or I put it in there, posted in there. I wasn't the only one with that opinion, though, right? Like, most people
agreed
that
we all agreed for sure.
Yeah, that we're going a little bit too hard on people if we want to kill anything in the next months. We need to slow down for people to feel safe enough to be in space. You know, so we actually have a sustainable amount of targets in space at all times, right? But yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty
maybe
sure.
Maybe you overdid it a bit, right? That was like when you guys were like on like that rampage mode, forming every day several times, killing rock hard supers everywhere. I think that a lot of groups stopped super and rock hard, like super redding and rock hard mining altogether because of that as a result, right?
Yeah, like Nikti just said in chat as well, I think that day that you posted that message, Shvo like pinged like, yo, I have rockers, and that was the day we killed the
you know,
the test titan.
You know what's funny actually about that, I had that discussion with Shvo several times and we always agreed. Yeah. But then there's that titan, there's that one target, you can't just ignore it, you have to go for it, right? And he cannot keep it together and just say like, no, we're gonna leave this one alone. He has to form, like. And I, at some point, I gave up, right? Like, he had to form and, you know, kill it. So, yeah, on the same day, we agreed, like, we should have less, you know, everyone forms up and kills the titan. It's like, I mean, at the same time, it was more about rockets than titans, right? Because titans weren't in space that much anyway.
It's yeah, like, that was just a one-off dumb titan that jumped in to save a rocket one.
But it was kind of funny, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a somewhat recent one, right? From a couple of weeks, months ago at this point, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose it was.
I heard, jumped in with like the response lead or something and bumped off. Is that the one?
There was one that jumped in with a couple supers. And
yeah,
then
okay, yeah, I know the one
of the big up dudes bubbled it and then we killed it. And then there was another one that jumped in and fucked up and Sandrin's Titan died because they were too busy saving the Titan. Sandrin's Rocko died, so.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, that's what I realized with those kicky fleets, especially when the super blobs were, like, dominant, you know. Not like I liked the super blobs necessarily, but at least shit was getting fielded, right? And
yeah,
then every
sure.
now and then someone fucked up. Some dude jumped to the beacon. Another dude warped to the wrong gate. You know, it's like, you know, not every op you would be able to take on that massive blob, but every now and then there is a fight to be had and you know, stuff happening, even though in theory, if you look at it, the super blob should always dominate and control the grid completely the second the sun is lit, right? But it's not the reality. There's always like fuck ups and other stuff happening. So yeah,
the big one I remember for that as an example was when I was still on Horde, like must have been over a year ago now, when we dropped like titans at 100 to kill the inhibs. And then at some point, like, yeah, the untanked, I think a rag DC'd or something. Yep. So the avatar jumped in or something dumb. And then, like, the FC was inexperienced, I think. And he, like, dropped everything on the Sino, which was 100 away. And they were, like, panic warping faxes over to the avatar as it was dying. It's, like, such a shit fest.
It was. And, you know, it was such a long shot. And there's also a funny story about that one. Again, talking about Shvo, I was FC'ing that fleet. But Shvo was always looking for targets. And so we were already on the wormhole, in our wormhole, in warp to our wormhole home, when Shvo said, hey, there is like a rock color or two, 7 or 8 jumps out from our exit. Usually I don't go for that far because 7 or 8 jumps, by the time when we jump out, we report by the time we reach, they're usually gone, right? And
yeah,
Shvo was so, Shvo was so adamant. He's like, no, we're doing this. And he wasn't even FC'ing my fleet. I was like, okay, if Shvo says so. So I had to turn around. And then it developed into the Titan kill. That was just insane. That was just like, but that's exactly that what I talked about, right? Technically, you should have done it. But like one mistake, that Sino at 100, right? Because we kept dropping inhibs. The Sino was lit at 100 and then the faxes were too far. And then when the faxes warped over, he was already so close to dying. So, you know. It just creates that fuck up, and suddenly you have a Titan kill and a good fight on your hands. I mean, there was also subcap fleets there, right? So yeah, that's how it goes sometimes.
Like, so like, I've seen some of the FCs who run Pangap and Horde, for example, and they Like, I'm not going to name names, but there's some really stupid FCs in there. It's like, it's actually painful at times. Like, the Super FC was like screaming out that he was tackled by a single harpy, like in his hell. He's like screaming for reps and stuff like that. So,
yeah, but at the same time,
mistakes happen.
But at the same time, I always have to say, if you want to have good FCs, you're going to have bad FCs first. Right? It's just like,
that's fair. That's but like at the same time, they have
bad FCs shouldn't be FCing superstars.
Yeah, that's like, also always a bit dodgy to me, but yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But then again, a lot of the good FCs don't want to sit in like crap comms all day and listen to that. So I can't blame them, to be fair.
Yeah. You can always jump. I mean, what is a Titan at the end of the day? Right? A Titan for replaced. Group, the size. Yeah. For Hordes, for Goons, or even Innit and stuff. Like that one Titan is not the end of the world, but like you have to see all the ops leading up to it, where newer FCs had the potential of learning stuff like firsthand right there with like maximum stress level and shit like this, you know? So like, you know, maybe you could say, hey, they paid like how much was the time? Maybe they paid 100 bill to train all these FCs all this time, you know? Sometimes that... You know, that bill comes in and sometimes you get away with it anyway and you don't have to lose a Titan for it, but you know, that's kind of how you have to see it, I guess, on a larger scale, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Alright, so question was, what inspired you guys? And Frederick, what did inspire you to actually become the AT ship hunter that you are?
So back in 2015, 2016, I was an average Russian crab. I went to NullSec with friend, and eventually we got dropped by Gulnar/Flight Leader crew. Some friends came and destroyed our rattlesnake. Very sad. And it was Golden Black Ops era, as I think. There were Gulnar videos and I watched them like every day, maybe even several times. It was pure magic, music content. So we looked at the carriers we had, we looked at Rattlesnake and realized that we have basically everything to kill Black Ops. There were many gangs around, maybe two or three per day. Not really, but they came quite often and always different people. So we just fitted a signer and went for it. Got more and more experienced on Black Ops hunting. I heard and saw AT ships flying, but I thought that if you have an AT ship, you are basically a PvP god and there is no point to try to tackle you when something goes like 3, 4, 5 kilometers per second. How can you catch that with an Astera? And one day I noticed there was a Tehebel Victor in low sec killing stuff. I jumped on Lucilio IBist TeamSpeak and asked what feat could it be. Made up the plan, tried, and spent like maybe 3 or 4 hours for it, and it was a huge success.
So wait a second. So you spent 3 or 4 hours on like theory crafting what he's probably fitted like and all that stuff, and then you already killed him after that?
Yes, that didn't take long. I was very surprised.
Yeah.
So it appeared that you can kill an AT ship pilot, and it's just like another ship which I didn't pay attention to, because when I got a carrier, I was hot dropped before in GoSec, and I thought, hey, I won't go to kill any solo small gang PvPer, just Black Ops. So it would be kind of fair, you know, because carriers were clearly OP back in days. Huge alpha, nice application.
Yeah.
And it kind of set up my mind to hunt only Black Ops. So 80 ships somehow got into usual ships category.
Yeah.
And when I killed the Victor, it opened my eyes that there are great targets around. Need to go for them as well.
I think a lot of people, they see AT ships and they instantly assume what you just said. They instantly assume, well, they're super OP, the pilots are like ultra nerds, so it's going to be impossible to catch them. And if they catch them, if you catch them, it's probably part of their plan anyway, and they're going to kill you instead, right? And, like, people assume all this, but reality, yeah, the reality is actually quite different. Maybe it's just a dude who has a lot of ISK, who wants to have some fun and undocks his AT ship all the time and doesn't pay attention every time, right?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, usual skilled man, maybe more risk-averse than usual Torox pilot, but still, if he goes for something, you can set up a bait plan and set tackle and kill him.
Yeah.
So what would you say on average, though? How much time do you spend? Like, I'm sure it is different, right? So the first one was pretty fast. Like, I would have thought you thought about it for a week and then you went out and did it, but like a couple hours is pretty fast, right? But most of the times you gotta like prepare and stalk them a little bit for a while, right? How long does it take? What do you think? Like, how much prep goes into this?
It's hard to say. It's always different. For example, the last Virtuoso we killed, we spent literally like 1 hour, maybe 2 hours. But the recent kills, we were setting up. First of all, one hole is not really one guy. It's more like a team, you know, tight group of people who do all the stuff together. So for recent kills, we made up plans, and it might have taken like a week, maybe, for pure waiting for the guy to undock and come to the right place at the right time.
So how do you make him come to the right place at the right time? Or you were just hoping, like,
yeah,
just from his history, where he was before and stuff.
It's all about hope and endurance, because we can't make a person to press on dog button. We have to wait and be constantly ready for it when we set up everything and are ready to strike.
So what I wondered, and I totally understand if like all of you can't really talk about it too much, but like I always wonder what the procedure is. Like, from what you just said, it's all right, there's a dude shows up on killboard. That's probably your source of intel first. Or someone killed something with an AT ship. So you look at him and then you think, okay, where's he staged? Or like, how do you go about it? Like, do you just follow him with a certain scout? Like, how do you go about the whole procedure, like finding them and so on?
Well, we see a kill mail, we see a pilot, we brainstorm the bait feed, the gang setup. Maybe we go for him with a scout to see what does he do, how does he do it. Sometimes we ask the people he got and killed before.
I thought for a second you were going to say, sometimes we ask the guy. Like, yeah. Hey, how do you do that? Hey, what's your fit? I bet a bunch of them would actually give you the fit. I mean, unless you're called funnel, send someone else, right?
There are people who share their fits on Discord, so sometimes it happens as well.
I think so, yeah.
And then the work begins. We set up, we deploy and stay, play PUBG, watch some Netflix and wait for the guy to come to us.
Yeah, so that's an aspect I think most people are not aware of, right? It's not only the hunting business like we're talking about, like AT hunting, It might be rock hole hunting. It might be like with the rag, you gotta be patient, right? And then a lot of time, oh, what people love to talk about is rooks and kings and the videos with pipe bombs. They don't understand how long they've been sitting on Titan before the scene and the video happens, you know? Hours, sometimes days of nothing happening, and then they bridge in and it happens, right? So yeah, I guess sometimes it comes down to like, how do you keep your guys around? You just do something else, you play PUBG or whatever, just to keep, you know, just to enjoy something else while you wait for that moment to happen, huh? That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, like during quarantine, I've been working from home as well. So I would be cloaky camping frat space and just have eyes there and just cycle through them, descan, and then see if there's anything there. And then just go back to work basically if there's nothing there. And then yeah, it's a lot easier to find stuff like that. And same thing for horde space, you just do scout or camp or whatever. And then when something shows up, you can actually go for it.
Yeah. How about you, Lowland? Like, what's your procedure? Like, what do you do on the side? Like, scout-wise and stuff?
We literally just sit and chill on comms all day and just try and find stuff and usually spend a ridiculous amount of hours back probing and looking for rock ores, and then by the time we did find a route, the rock ore's probably de-sieged and gone, so gotta try to find another one.
I know that life, dude. I know it. Like when the quads light up, like, oh, we got this and this. Like, let's do it, right? And then it was like, do we have an entry? Do we have an exit? And we need to get these guys from there. And like all this stuff starts. And then by the time everyone's set up, the rock is actually gone.
Yeah, I do remember once I like probed a hole for, I think it was Snuff, Big Ab, and Innit. It was like 3 a.m. for me, so I just like quickly probed a hole. I say quickly, took me like an hour and a half or some shit. But quickly like probed a hole for them, and then went to bed, and I was like, good luck, guys. Here's your bookmarks, I'm off. But they killed it, so it was all good.
No, well, if it works in the end, it's kind of nice. But sometimes you put in so much work and nothing happens, right? That's why it's always, I feel like at least it's hard to find people that are dedicated to do back probing, for example. To probe a chain down is just so much more work than, for example, mapping a drifter wormhole, right?
Yeah, definitely. Some of the guys that we hunt with, like Sol, who you know ish, he yeah, he just will spend literally hours just back probing and back probing and back probing until we finally find something.
Yeah, and then sometimes you don't find anything, right? You back probe and you map like a massive chain of like, I don't know, 20 systems or so, and you got it all laid out, but then there's nothing there, right? It's just like everything, like time might just be wasted. But you know, that's the reality of things. But you know, you sometimes also have the opposite where people already have a connection. You know, someone puts in the core Discord says, "Hey, we got 3 rockets here. Who can come?" And then, oh yeah, we have a connection actually next door, right? It's like that happens too.
Yeah, it's so satisfying when that happens.
It is nice. It is nice. One of the and best stories, like all my favorite stories to tell is when Kenda was all the way up in, I think it was Tribute or something. Could have been Geminate. I don't know. But he was fighting some dudes. Horde, PL was there. Black Legion was there, and he got trapped. And he knew we were hunting all the time, and we had a ton of wormholes. So he poked me just by chance, and he's like, "Hey, I'm stuck here. There's like 3 fleets. We can't do anything. You guys got anything? Can you guys come over here?" And that was just the beginning of the Stuka era, really, right? And I checked my wormhole tool, and we had a connection right next door. Like right next to him, I was like, "Don't worry, princess, we're on the way." Right, so I formed up, and then within 5 minutes, we formed up, got next door, and jumped in the system. Just the timing, like we were just so on point with form up time and like the warm on everything, just worked so smooth. And then we killed all the fleets. That was just like the smoothest op I've ever done, I think. And it was just, you know, sometimes you just get lucky, right? Sometimes it just like all works out. I think that's in all hunting business, too, right? Like, be it AT ships, be it rockers, or be it the like marauders just lining up to get like a one shot by a rag. Like, sometimes they just line up for you and you're like, it smells like bait, but you know, it's not. It's
Let us
actually
try.
just everything smooth.
Never not takes a bait. That's the rule we have.
Yeah, I mean, for you it's easy to say, right? For Cracker, that's a different story, right?
That's true.
The last Marauder I killed in Fretspace was bait. But like I DM'd them the next day. Or like someone else was talking in local and he was like, oh, did you kill my bait, dude, or whatever. And apparently he just started retting too soon. So like the dudes with the pros weren't set up yet or something. So he just died. Like, and then that's why in the video you see them warp in, like right as he dies. It's like way too fast. Like normally standing fleet wouldn't be that fast. But that's because he was like screaming in comms, he's already here.
That's another thing, right? Sometimes you have it all planned out, perfectly prepared, and then some small mistake leads to an absolute shit show.
Yeah, it's like,
be it baiting or be it hunting, you know, I mean, it's kind of a similar thing, right? You know, sometimes stuff just falls apart too. Sorry, what?
No, I was about to say, like, Marauder baiting is going to be interesting after the patch. If they fit buffer, it's going to be over, I think.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm a little worried. I got to be honest. I'm a little worried Marauders are going to be a little bit too strong. Mm. I mean, they're already strong as fuck. And a lot of times, if you're solo and stuff, it's so easy for a Marauder to be in control because it's only one ship. He knows you can't light a Sino. You cannot, like, you can be bait, sure, but, like, by the time they arrive, he's going to be gone. 5 times, so like the risk is so little, and it's so strong, and then it's even better. I don't know if that's the right move, but we'll see.
Next, like even the ultra blingy ones, like they wrap an insane amount of HP per second. But right now, if you have enough bombers, like if you have 20-ish to like 20 or more, you can just volley through their shield or armor, and just slowly chunk them down. But if they fit like one plate now, they're going to have so much HP as well. Like the actual buffer is going to be so high with just one module. It's going to be pretty rough now.
You know what? I just randomly wondered. Blobs get the same bonus, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I believe so.
Could be kind of fun.
Going to be some tanky Dima boys.
You know, or remote rep sins or something. But you know what? I did remote rep sins before. Or remote rep like Blobses like ages ago. When, like, in the age of carriers, we were hunting, like, carrier multi-boxes, right? So, like, dudes that had, like, 8 carriers just running havens or whatever. And then we would drop, like, remote rep blobses on them. Because they would always warp in. Oh, it's just blobses. I can tank this, right? With one of them being effects and the rest DPS. But they don't expect you to tank. And, but the only reason why I don't think we can do this again is, I mean, technically, you could do the cap chain thing, but man, it's just so fragile, I feel like, to do the cap chain, like, spider tank stuff. Like, you kind of want to be cap booster based with a hauler, right? So, I mean, maybe, actually, not thinking about it, what you could do is actually have a bunch of blobs and then one carrier on top of it. And that carrier just is the cap booster truck. Everyone can grab cap boosters from a carrier. And maybe that's the approach, actually. But maybe I'm giving too much away, but there you go.
Oh, then you need a hard sign as well, though.
Yeah, well, but it's not that much of a problem.
No, nah, it's like, I don't know, like for me the biggest issue with those is that it's super telegraphed. Like pretty much everyone knows like the rare Pepe tunes are mine, like the rare Pepe collector 1-2 whatever 30. So when they see an Arazo in that and it's coming towards them, like they know what's coming, like they know exactly what's going to happen. And then you could use, like, I don't know, scepters or something. You can train up a new tune every other week and just zoom over and people are not expecting it as much. It's like the biggest downside for me anyway.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar to, we have a couple of hypers in our passage, and like the second I log in one of my Sinos or Sabres, it's just fucking Intel just pops off. Like, super chopper, up, super chopper, super chopper. And this is like, ugh.
And I bet it's also the same for one all, right? Like their scouts are just known. Some of them anyway. Or not?
I guess for the AT ships, you must have like different tunes at the very least.
There must be different tunes every time, because if the character is spotted, it's burned. Can't use it again.
Do you just trash it, get a new one?
Sometimes to clean the space on the account, I trash them. Sometimes I just leave them and create another account.
Yeah, like do you like create account and then you have 3 tries but 3 different chars and then you just forget about the account and then get the next one? Just leave them like that. Yeah,
something like that.
That That leads me to another question, actually, in general. Like, how many alts do you guys have usually subbed? Like, what do you think? Oh, on average, right?
I have 23 right now.
Subbed?
Yeah.
Yeah, what, skill farming, like, or what?
Yeah, like, I don't know, 16 of those are SP farm, at the very least.
That's a lot.
I think more even at this point.
That's a lot of subbed jars.
Yeah. It's a big investment as well to get started, but like once it gets going, it's whatever. Just like bi-monthly, extract them all and then keep going.
True. That's what I'm doing with a couple of mine too, but like 4 or 5. It's a common thing.
I think I've got like 13 at the moment. So not quite as many as cricket.
But still, way more than I thought.
It's a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Bono?
There are like 5 accounts up. I don't need that many because we don't kill a T-ship every day and we don't spend characters every day for it. So you just prepare a couple of worthy tunes and use it when the time comes.
Yeah, and you biomass it. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I refused to biomass them some time ago. They're like veterans chilling in Jita. Maybe someday I bring them to Amamaki Keepstar to chill on the Undock. Beltrom will come, Casper will come.
Yeah, good old Beltrom. How many times, how many AT ships did Beltrom lose? 2? Or just 1?
I've seen at least 1, I think.
I believe it was only Imp.
Yeah, alright. I thought he got another one and you caught him again, but I don't know. Might have been wrong now.
No, he went to fly visit and I sent him the Skyrim Morrowind list of paper with the sign we know.
You sent him like memes to tease him?
Yeah.
Beautiful. That's the language he understands, I gotta say. That sounds like a Beltrom. Was there one target maybe that you guys like that was like special for you guys, like maybe a Beltrom, I don't know, or maybe the first Marauder that you killed with a rag? Like, was there that one target that sticks out?
Yeah, like when I first moved it to Threat Space, it was after a guy, like I was doing a ton of corn fleets with some Capaflutes, like we would ping Horde and just go there. And it was always the same guy in his fucking, I don't know, 9 bill. I think at some point he lost like a 30 bill a Varger, like officer thing. And I was like, well, I need to kill this guy at some point. And then I think it was like the second Marauder I killed or something. But I was like super satisfied like to finally get that guy. Yeah. It would have been the 30 bill fit, but he died like a couple of days before that to like a Kiki fleet. Like that he warped it into like 100 Kikis and fed it.
Dude, that happened to me more than once. That, yeah. Like I have eyes on a target. I remember that one guy in a Wyvern of all things. Wyverns are kind of rare, right? But
yeah.
I had my eyes on him. We were set up. I already had an op posted because I knew exactly where he's going to be on that day, right? I knew it exactly and everything was lined up. Chars in place, everything. Probers, the whole fucking shebang, right? And then the day before, he just dies randomly on a gate to goons. I was like, man, what the, you know? But yeah, that stuff happens all the time. What about you?
Yeah, I check it was 21 Bill Varger.
That's not too bad either, though.
Yeah.
What about you guys, Frederick and Loland? Any target that sticks out?
The first super we killed when we started hunting, or when I started hunting with them, was a Razor Alliance super that we literally sat and watched every day for like 2.5 weeks. And we knew like exactly when he ratted to like the minute that we knew he'd log off, and it was just every single day he did it. And then we midded blops and some supers and stuff and finally went for it. And I just remember one of the guys that was with us logged in his saber, logged in the wrong character, which like for fuck's sake you just hear on comms like I've logged in the wrong character.
Oh man.
But we got him, so it was all good.
You know, that happened to me before too, and a friend of mine who used to be in Corp We were sitting, actually, I wasn't in that op. I was just on comms. And there was a post going up, and the Sino was already spotted. And everyone knew there's going to be a Titan jumping in, and he's going to warp over to the post back in the day, right? So the Sino goes up, and he was supposed to warp down and light his Sino ASAP, right? Just so everyone can jump in quick, get the bubble up, and all that stuff. So he warps down, and he wasn't aware because he isn't a hunter, right? If you have done it a couple of times, you know, though, after you land, there is this, I don't even know what it says.
Yeah, the involve, yeah.
You can't light your Sino right away. You have to move quickly. And he didn't know. So he lands on the Titan and can't light the Sino. And he's like panicking, checking for his LO and all that stuff, but he didn't know. Like, and then he lights the Sino, everything jumps in, bubble goes up, but he just like the Titan just warps out of the bubble, basically, right? Oh my God. And it's just like sometimes it just doesn't, you know, it's just little things sometimes. Gotta be on point. How about you, Frederick? Like, what was the target that stands out for you? Was the first one that you talked about already?
Well, the very first one was Flight Leader Sin, the legend I managed to catch. It was like a dream to get him because, once again, I watched his video really a lot.
Oh, right. So it's from Reload, his sin. What did you just say?
I say it about Flight Leaders in
Oh, right.
the Gulnar Martina Fabro on YouTube, who made the Black Ops videos
Yeah,
in 2015.
it's the trauma videos all, same guy.
Oh, is it the trauma videos? Oh,
Yep.
right.
Yeah, he switched the character.
All
And
right.
the second one was the Hebel Victor, obviously, the first AT ship we caught. And also, maybe the most important one was the Gold Magnate, which also didn't take much time to catch, actually. We spent maybe like a day for it, I don't know.
Just smooth, everything worked out, Paul. But
Yeah, I was told, like, hey, Fred, there is a Gold Magnate gating in Placid. Let's try him. And we asked his previous prize. There was a Hecate he killed on gate, which told us, I believe, that he aggressed, warped to ping, warped back, and killed it. So we set thick torques, left it at gate, and let him come dangerously close.
And he just went for it. A damn Torax. A 20-mil ship.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, a kill mark is a kill mark, you know? That's the thing. And who would bait with a Torax? So, he had to go for it, I guess.
Big balls.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes big ball, there's a line there, right? Sometimes you have, like, you can say, is it courage or like when does it turn into stupidity? You know, at some point, like some baits are just too obvious and people still go for it and just like they don't pay attention. That's what I always say with like fleets. Whenever, like, let's say we have 100 dudes in fleet and we want to have a fight, but then people bring like 200 in the perfect counter. Let's say, I mean, 100 kickies and there's 200 minions, like. I can't really fight that, right? To even try would be stupid. But maybe someone else would say it was just like would just like be big ball, like a baller move. But sure, but I think that crosses the line, right? So in that case too, like, you know, it's a baller move, but at the same time you gotta be careful, right? Like where's the line? That's always the question. And I think the line is probably on a different spot for everyone.
I mean, and you know they're gonna shit talk you in local the entire time if you don't go for it.
Well, if that's the price
Every
you have to
time.
pay.
Yeah.
So if I have to take like one of the more satisfying kills that we have, it was probably that Titan that you talked about earlier, Cracker. I was one of the best.
Oh, the
And
Avatar, yeah.
Yeah, and the Black Ops stuff that I was talking about, the remote reps and stuff, that was pretty satisfying too. Because we caught like, I don't know, several times we caught like 8 carriers and shit. And it's just like, it's just, I think that's what all hunters and or maybe FCs have in common. Like, you make a plan, you lay it out, you think about it for a long time, and then you execute and everything works. Man, it's just so nice, right? It's just so satisfying when like this whole process is finished and you're like, holy shit, this actually worked.
There is a thing about long time plans. So we tried Hydra wormhole like 2 years ago. Randomly, absolutely randomly saw a Virtuosa drifting off Tether range and killed it. Went back and thought, how can we make a normal kill, you know, not with that much of luck. And then a 20 luxury yacht plan appeared in 2019. Or when did it happen? 2020? I don't really remember. So that plan was in our heads for like 2 years before we executed it recently.
That's a long time coming, yeah.
That's nuts, yeah.
Yeah. You see, that's the thing also what you say later. Like, it has been 2 years, right? It has been on your minds, but it's not like you have been working just on that for 2 years. That's the same thing with like the whole like rage eviction story. When people hear like, oh, you have been prepping this for a year. Like, sure. There was a war in between and there was all kinds of stuff happening also, right? Like, sure, we started thinking about it and we did the first moves a year before it happened, but it was a long time coming and we were patient, right? We didn't rush it, and that's the same approach you took there, right? You like knew and stuff and you put everything in place, you didn't forget about it, but it wasn't like your sole focus, right? But then when it happens, it's just so much more satisfying because it was such a long time coming anyway. It's nice, right?
Well, the plan was initially more like a crazy idea, but recently a guy appeared from Volta who just told, hey, I have 15 yachts out, let's do it. And he did it.
You say like that guy had like an intel or whatever, like. So what do you say, do you guys think, like, in general, what, like, how much of a role do spies play in this whole, like, in your business? Like,
Oh,
actual
huge
spies
for
in.
me specifically, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, blue eyes on Rockhart's always nice, right?
Yeah.
Makes it so much easier to time the siege cycles, to time, like basically when we come in and stuff, yeah. And
Yeah,
then
like also just targets I go for, like being able to watch them for a while is like huge for me. So you can actually see that there's not like 5 Higgs cloaked on grid or something, you know, stuff like that. And just being able to check that everyone is not docked or in space or cloaked somewhere and all that stuff. Like, it's so much easier with blue eyes.
Yeah, even watching pings too, like when we're dropping
Yeah.
supers and out of passage, just watching pings and seeing them ping for probe indicators and shit, just try not to take the bait, which I'm not the best at, but so far the hypers haven't been baited yet.
I have the feeling for Fred, it probably doesn't play that big of a role. You don't use a lot of blue spies, do you?
As
No,
far as we don't use spies at all, I would say. I mean, a random character to come and give us a quick scout, yes, but AT pilots usually always are in some really tight groups and you can't get into it.
yeah, probably
Well,
smart.
you can try, but you need to spend like a year like that guy who stole Krimos and some highly pricey ships from Casper and TikTok back in time, I believe. I don't remember what did he steal, but he spent decent time flying with them.
Yeah.
That's not the thing I would like to do.
No, you know, it's so much work. It's, and you know, man, I don't know. There's a little.
I don't know if it's worth it.
It's a morale thing too, right? It's hard. Like, for example, Casper and the guys, they're good dudes. Beltrum, it's a good dude, right? And then trying to fucking betray them in the end, like spending a full year on it, man, you can't. There's a little bit of a, you know, you have to have a certain character for it. Let's say it like that, right? I think not everyone's made for it. Definitely not.
Just have them DM you, and then they jump to your sign, dude. Easy.
Yeah, and you know, from my experience, actually, I guess I said, we can talk about that in a minute. But I said like Casper and Beltrum and so on. But from my experience, almost everyone in the game is like they're decent guys. You know, it's like, it's not a surprise if you like try to get in any group. They're probably decent guys. You know, the chances are pretty slim that you're gonna go and join a group, even with the intention of being a man, and say like, man, these guys are absolute like horrible people, and I'm not gonna feel bad like for backstabbing at all, right? So yeah,
one of our next kills, I felt a bit bad. I like made friends with some super pilot and logged off a saber on his paws, and as he walked off to his site, I logged my saber in, and he walked back to his paws and landed in the bubble. And yeah,
you feel bad about that, then crack it. Yeah. Like, how bad did you feel about that guy who wanted to move his Titan? He idolized you. He convoed you saying, hey, I saw your stuff. I love it. I want to do it too. And like, and then you offer to move him. You invite him to your fleet. And then you light the sign or let him jump in and you kill him. How bad do you feel? On a scale to 10, how bad?
Really not that bad. Like, no, like if you saw the conversation, that guy shouldn't have been in the Titan in the first place. It's my lawyer. It's just... Like, I still don't get how it happened, honestly. Like, I'm still amazed that he went for it. It's just, yeah, I don't know. Like, right up until we jumped, I was still convinced, like, he's going to ask me for the system, or he's going to ask for the structure, or, like, put his own eyes there to, like, see, or light his own sign or whatever. And then, and he just logged in, like, yeah, I'm ready. And then he jumped, and, like, he never asked for the structure. So, like, I think we put him on the ACL initially, and then we pulled it, but.
Did he think he was still on hold at the time?
Yeah, that's my guess. Like, I never corrected him, obviously. Like, I never poked him about it. It's like, yeah, maybe you should check my core first. But yeah, I think that's my guess. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Still nuts.
I felt sorry for the guy. I can't deny it.
Yeah, like...
I told you to.
Like, I don't feel... It's not like I don't feel bad for him at all, but it's like...
What is it? Scale to 10. Say, yeah, give me a number.
Nah, I don't know. Like a 6, maybe. It's like,
oh, it's
a 6 is like high.
Nah, I don't know. Like, maybe a 5 then. It's like seal clubbing, dude. It's like, three, so. It's just, I don't know.
I would have been like a 2.
Right. It's, yeah. A 5 is okay, right? If you feel a little bit bad.
Nah, it's like, I don't know. Like, and I have respect for the guy. Was like, afterwards, he was like, yeah, just don't be mean on Reddit. Well played, is all he said. And then he blocked me. It's like, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Gotta respect that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, I think people have a hard time with that, you know, cutting the loss and saying like, shit, okay, I got caught. I mean, I can sometimes, like, if I lose a ship a certain way, it's more about the, like, how I lose it than the price tag or whatever. Man, I can lose some sleep about it too, where I'm like, oh, fuck, should have done this, should have done that, like, and I've lost so much shit, I mean, whatever, right? But... You know, and then some people, they get personal about it. They're not like, I think they're not going back on themselves thinking I should have done that. They go on and they blame the guys who killed them, and then they get real personal, right? Did you guys have any like threats, like any big like someone coming after you?
No, like when we left Horde and I moved my rag into Otiki, I just basically safe logged it next to Armino, just in a system I knew where people were gonna rat. And then I think I waited like 2 weeks, and then a guy, just like a random whore dude, was doing a crab beacon with 2 drants. And like, after I doomsdayed him and like warped off and all that, he like started basically threatening me. It was like, yeah, at some point you're going to die, and on comp someone is going to say TPG. And it became like a meme for us. So like, whenever anything happens, we're like, oh, TPG, hit us again, do TPG, TPG. Yeah,
still at don't least know what you meant in game. So, for a second, I thought,
yeah, in game. Right. It's just, it's so weird. Like, I don't know. Other than that, I've never had like actual threats or anything. It's just a weird interaction because he kept talking in local, like endlessly about how he's experienced, and he would get me at some point, and I would lose my Titan, and blah blah blah.
Well, I've done the same thing. I mean, if you take it as a little bit humor, right? I forgot what's the fraternity stream sniper dude called again?
Aurora, probably.
No.
It's Aurora and there's another one.
He killed, I don't even know what he killed. He killed something of my, like a battleship maybe. Filamented out, and he on the same gate. I got already called, and like, well, not on the same gate, but like very quickly. Evil Dobber, all right. I gotta give him credit, right? He's so good at stream sniping. I mean, you know, if you have perfect intel, imagine someone streams AT ship stuff, like, Fred would be on him in seconds, right? But,
Hey, there is a guy streaming Rageo flank.
Oh, really?
Yeah, low.
And you didn't kill him yet?
No, I came here. I believe he had some sort of.
Wait, he's streaming right now in this moment?
Yeah.
We have to host him after this. We're going to send Fred after him.
Yeah, wait till he finds out this is all recording, dude. You're actually there.
imagine if you kill him within this hour, right? Because like we're actually getting close to the end, but that would be ridiculous. That would be too funny if you catch him. But you know, not saying it's realistic. Where was I going with this? I forgot. Oh, I lost my train of thought.
About threats for
So Evil Dobber killed me in, I don't even know what it was, super quick. It was a Gila that he killed me twice in, right? And then I said, like, I'm gonna get you guys. One day I'm gonna get you. Obviously, I'm a little bit kidding, but I'm not kidding entirely, right? Like, it's not like I forget about this stuff. But I think it's always the key that, you know, there's a little bit of, like, you can't take yourself too serious, right? And I think this dude, you're talking about Cracker, that dude probably took himself a little bit too serious there.
Yeah. I still have the convo somewhere. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, how about, Fred, did you get, like, death threats or, like, something crazy?
You see, back in the days when I started to hunt Black Ops, I didn't communicate in English that much, and I didn't have such skills as I have now. So I played it very, like, I'm a nice guy, pressed F in local, told some, you know, nice things, and didn't make people angry. They just thought, oh, nice play, nice bait, something like that. And when we came to AT ship hunting, I and my friends played it like we are good guys, hands. Didn't say some bad things to people. It was always like press F in local, sorry for your loss or something.
You guys are always well mannered? You never make enemies really?
I believe not. Maybe some salty guys who don't even fly AT ships told us, hey, your blobber skilling, such a good stuff, not replaceable in EVE. But I believe we didn't get negative things from the AT ship pilots itself. I think it would be really easy to become a bad guy in the beginning and keep it up, and maybe even blue tackle some AT ship pilot now, but don't want to go for it.
It's not worth it, I guess. Like, you know, it comes back to the whole, like, blue spike kind of thing. Like, the morale of it and stuff. Like, the backstabby kind of stuff. If it doesn't feel like fair play, right? That hostility that you would bring, like, to your own self and stuff, that's not worth it. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I say it would, like, now we are kind of famous, and kind of good skilled guys who do some end game content. But if I started like some, you know, angry Russian in the beginning who humiliates Black Ops pilots every time he kills them, it would be a completely different play. Smug out of everyone, you know.
Yep. Yeah, you wouldn't be liked, I think.
Yeah, if you were... wouldn't be liked then. But why would it?
Would be like Cable, maybe, something like that.
Not talking about Cable.
But my question is more like, why would that, like, why does it make such a difference to you? Right? That was more like what I was aiming at. Like, why would you care? Right? As long as you have your guys around you and you guys are all like happy together hunting stuff and you get targets. You know, why would you care if the AT guys that you're hunting are, you know, friendly to you or not, right?
You see, AT ships are unique, and when you, I believe, when you get one of them, you put a small part of your soul into it. It's not just some take one thing you just throw away and reship and Rita and go for another one. And when you lose it, it's not that easy.
It hits deeper than the pocket, than the wallet.
Yeah, and I kind of feel empathy for our preys, and didn't want to hurt them even more.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, that's something that, like, I didn't expect, to be honest, that you
same.
That you would like feel.
Because
empathetic.
it's not our enemies, it's game partners, more of it. So why not take a bit of care about the guy who lost AT ship to you?
Yeah, I think it totally makes sense. I mean,
kind of need each other to make the game interesting. Like, hunting without targets wouldn't work, and like cramming with no risk wouldn't be fun either. Or like PvPing with no people out trying to kill you and all that.
Yeah, and I think totally,
cramming with no risk is an awesome thing. Okay,
Isaac. Yeah.
Yeah, but I totally agree with the whole like approach. I don't think anyone I've never shit talked anyone really. So I always thought that was like unnecessary anyway, and it's, you know, I don't want the guy who's Rockal or who is super I just killed to then say, ah, oh, fuck this, and it's like extra bitter and just quits the game. I don't gain anything from that, right? Like, I want him to say, okay, I got caught, this is the game, the dudes had fun, whatever, it wasn't my day, I'll get a new one, and, you know, I'll be out tomorrow, right? That's kind of what you're aiming for, right? That makes for a healthier game overall, I think.
We do enjoy a little bit of salt, though. I mean, so some of the most fun we have with hunting is just reading, like, I don't know, for example, Test when we're dropping hypers or killing stuff with Kikis, just reading some of their channels is just fucking hilarious. And RC as well, recently, like, our corp went on like a little blobs deployment to RC where I got baited a few times and fed the odd redeemer or two. But like, just reading some of the salt is so funny, and like them just pinging like for someone just bait these fucking idiots already, and it's just great. We're just sat there laughing and chilling.
Yeah, so if they, I mean, I always enjoy a little bit of friendly banter. If they start it, you know, let's buy a bag. That's totally fine. But yes. I don't think I ever like initiated, or like we as a group, I mean, I don't want to say as a group, in it is huge, right? So there's always like someone who just starts shit talking. You kind of have to stop them a little bit. But I think overall, we always did a decent job there. It's not always easy to hold back too either. So when someone starts firing back, it's so easy. Ah.
Yeah, with our like little group of like guys that we play with, we tend not to talk shit unless someone starts it, but. You know, sometimes there's the odd salt and local that you can't help yourself but join in with.
Yeah. So one thing I've got on my list that I wanted to ask you, all of you, is actually, so, like, in the recent years, We had a couple of changes, I think, that changed everything for hunting. I mean, the rocker, the scarcity thing. Even let's not talk about it, okay, Lowland. I think everyone knows what's up. There's no target in space. But other than that, like, what were maybe some like the most impactful changes over the last couple of years when it comes to hunting? Like, what was good? Maybe the, like some changes that you think goes in a go in the right direction. Maybe I don't know, Roland, if you got something there.
Well, in terms of hunting, there isn't really many that go in the right direction in terms of making hunting easier or better or more,
how about
more
the crab
targets.
Bacon, for example, do you think it's a right approach?
At first, there was a fair few, and we killed a few with Shvevi of Kikis and stuff. But with the rewards being a bit shit in comparison to how much a dread costs, it's you don't really see them, like Horde do them a fair bit.
Yeah.
But other than that,
it's way less now as well.
Yeah, you really don't see them. Like, we maybe see one a week. I mean, I'm sure they do them, but it really doesn't happen as often as you'd think.
But or do like, you think? CCP recently said like dread costs are gonna be a little bit lower soon, right? That's kind of what I understand from it. Then the crab beacon itself is gonna be cheaper, and it should be dropping more. So that combination, it should be three, like a triple buff basically to the whole two crab beacons. So
yeah, I think that has potential there, definitely. Yeah. I'm hoping so.
Especially
for sure.
Horde. It's like Horde gets insane SRP. It's pretty nuts. You get currently you get like 5 bill for lost capital if you're like you have a faction fleet in the Sinewall grid. Yep. So like when I was still on Horde, I lost the revelation, but I scooped the loot and then I made like 120 mil in my loss. it's like really dumb. So if the prices go down and like they adjust it a bit,
you heard it.
Horde especially will
get out
have
there.
More grats out, I think.
Get out there, start crabbing.
Yeah. Well, like it's kind of solved right now. Like it's either supers, which I can't touch like on my own, and I don't know,
like
even
now
for
we can
PvP fleets and stuff,
together,
it's pretty rough. Like, what do you say? Sorry.
Now we can work together,
Yeah. No, I thought about it before, like forming bombers and then bringing in the super for extra DPS or something, but
so
it's kind of rough.
Yeah, that's something I actually had planned to do at some point too, but I never really did it, which is just having a few guys in hyper hells and stuff, just like in certain regions. For example, in XIX space, for example, have like two or three guys there, then have some in Kalevala, have some in Vale maybe even, right? And then whenever we catch something there, you just light that sign or have that extra DPS there, that extra oomph to put them into reinforce right away, warp them to a ping.
Yeah, the Voldy especially, yeah.
Yeah, warp them to a ping, and then like if hostiles show up, fine, they can play it safe and go safe. If they don't show up though, it's an easy like clean swoop, pow, next, right? So, but with the lack of targets right now, it's not really worth thinking about it, to be honest.
Yeah. No, like, crap beacons, it's either rorks and belts who will just panic, or it's like max tank carriers, or it's max tank supers. And I don't know, like, for me, I can't touch much right now. It's, I don't know, it's pretty rare to see actual, like, active tank dreads. Like, I saw two active tank carriers earlier, but they were EHE fit with, like, a Hick and a Dictor on grid. It's like, I can't touch those either, even if I could, like, technically kill them slowly. It's not possible.
Yeah. They might just
One of the most satisfying things was when, I think it was, like, last week or the week before, we just dropped four supers in Outer Passage and just alpha'd a Rorqual before he panicked. It's so satisifying just jumping in, one-shotting, and then whooping off.
Dude, I tried that with Max twice. Back in the day when it was, like, absolute Max... maximum rockers, and then we went up to duty space at the time, and I jumped in like a full fleet of max, and I counted down 3, 2, 1. We shot it, and it goes like to 1/3 structure, and then it panicked, so we never alpha'd it. I was like, no, so close, right? But yeah, we tried.
It's like the most satisfying thing. Like, same thing for the fountain drop where we killed like I don't know how many rocks, like 50, 60 or something. Just watching rorks die that quickly. I quite like it.
It's
I don't
so
know.
Good.
Yeah.
That locust fleet, yeah.
Oh, like the rork I doomsayed in Fred Space as well. Like the first time I doomsayed something there. It was like extremely satisfying. Especially after
the first time. Like a shuttle, right? I mean, it looks the same way.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's a different feeling for rocks.
Yeah, but it, I mean, that it looks like that. You know it's a rocker, but it looks like it dies, like it doesn't have no
age. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it feels the same way as if you kill a shuttle. That would be kind of disappointing.
Imagine.
But so what about mobile observatories for your gameplay, Cricket?
Yeah, it's awful. They're a little tricky, huh? Honestly, like, because I don't know, like at this point, I after I kill the target, I just try to save up and cloak so I can wait out the timer and then jump out and instantly save log. It's like the go-to, if I can try that. But if it's too risky, I'll just jump out and then feed the first Sino and then have to jump out again because they're going to run locators. Or like chase the Sino and then you have to feed another recon and try again. And then at some point, if like I haven't had this happen before, like until now, where in theory, they can chase you around, like Titan Bridge you, and then your fatigue runs out or like goes above 15 minutes or they start anchoring observatories and then like they could chase you around for a while, like doing that on like on paper. So you have to take the drug and all that.
Yeah, just, that happened to us in Inn's Mother. We dropped on a rocker and didn't kill it. And then got chased around Inn's Mother and we midded to the rocker stupidly. So we midded, jumped in, jumped out. And then there was combat probing sabers and mobile observatories and we were pinging supers around like, oh fuck, we gotta feed.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, so like, I don't know, I still think, because the whole change was meant to like stop cloaky camping, which I also did, by the way. Like, I get how oppressive it is, trust me, I know. But I don't know, like it makes the whole super and hyper like thing just, it makes it really annoying. Like, there really are targets where I'm like, I could kill this probably, but then getting out is going to be such a pain that I'm just not going to try.
Yeah,
like, it happens quite a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So one suggestion, I know you have brought it up before, and I've heard it before from other people before, to, like, I don't know, whenever we talked about these, whenever they came out, is that, you know, faction cloaks and officer cloaks and stuff, they have an extended time of invulnerability, because you wouldn't fit those kind of cloaks on cloaky campers, right? You wouldn't see, like, a one-bill cloak on the typical, like, cloaky camping Manticore, whatever people use nowadays.
Would that be almost even go as far as like, because all the cloaky campers are all covert because they want to warp around and like go to the target like Sinus and all that, so I would almost go as far as like saying just remove the whole thing for non-covert cloaks.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly would agree
to some degree. Yeah. It's like, even for like grid eyes, like if they're watching a keep star and stuff, it's like those people are going to be active anyway and they can just warp off, warp back and like recloak and stuff like that.
But wouldn't you
like
say,
the actual cloaky camping wouldn't change anyway.
But some cloaky campers are just there to like just being local and harass and not ever.
Yeah, but then you know though, like you know they're not gonna do anything.
Yeah,
like it doesn't take long to figure that out, right?
No, I guess
I would say anyway.
No,
like you literally cannot mid to a target. If you mid to a target and try and kill it, and then obviously you're jumping out again, your red's like too high to. If you don't log off there, your red's too high and you're going to get caught by a mobile observatory and have to ping around and shit yourself.
Or use the veil drug or whatever it's called. I always forget the name.
Yeah, or then, forget it like we did.
And
we
saw and then you're cloaked. And then you have, oh, I have the drug, but now I have to decloak to activate the thing. And then it's actually useless again because then you have to ping around endlessly.
Maybe there should be a rig. No, like I don't know.
No, only be hyper, man.
No.
Yeah, but like I was just like for a second, my brain was. That doesn't make any sense. But yeah, it's tricky, right? It's tricky. I wasn't a big fan of the mobile observatories. I gotta say, from the start, I wasn't hyped about it. Because I thought it's for like especially scouts, like hunting spies and stuff like this. It's gonna be way more annoying. But it actually doesn't hit those all too much because it's rarely ever used against that. I think the only reason why people drop it is when they know there's a hostile cloaked in system, right? Be it your own staging where people have eyes, or be it like a hyper, super hyper reg sneaking around, right?
Yeah, like the group who gets hit the hardest by the change is like just people moving supers and camps through like low sec or null sec or whatever.
No.
It's like the cloaky campers are still there. Like fraternity was in our space, and meanwhile I was camping fraternity. It's like we're not gone. Like it's still there. It just takes a bit more effort.
I also recently saw a video of a dude who was hunting a guy who just, I think it was just a macro. He calls it a bot. Yeah, it's easy to make a macro for that. But he, like, there was a bomber that decloaks
in Vino,
10
Vino?
Minutes or so. Yeah. And then he cloaks again, right? And, you know, it doesn't really, you know, cloaky camping is still a thing, technically.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like, I just leave my sound on those clients with, like, just alarms. So, like, as soon as I get decloaked, I hear the alarm, and then I just go through all the clients. Oh, got to recloak this one, done, yeah.
Oh, you mean, okay. No, that makes sense, too.
You actually get that like, little ping noise when you get decloaked.
Yeah, the gong, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure how much the observatory is, like, if it's a net positive. I'm not quite sure yet.
Yeah, I don't think they're an awful thing, but I think in terms of, for, like, hypers and stuff, it would be nice if, like you said, either offer some mods or just if they have a sino fit or something just to help out a bit, because it's just, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I think the approach with the faction cloaks and faction and then officer and that space, that they have, like, an extended time, that's probably a good approach. Right?
Like, just make sure it's above, like, 30 minutes so I can actually jump endlessly and not get dicked over.
Yeah,
it's so like, as long as I get that, I'm happy. Like,
yeah, the question is always, like, would that be OP, though? You know, should maybe the defenders have a way of catching you, technically, right? Because, I mean, it's not easy to catch you even with those. Like,
No. Right, like, I haven't died, obviously, so.
Yeah, so maybe.
It's not easy, but.
Maybe we should just be happy with how it is. I don't know. Right?
Yeah. But, like, I solved it, between quotes. It's like, I just have, I don't know, 14, 15 Sino alts around Horde Space. Yeah. I just log everything in and, like, oh, this one is empty, jump. Like,
yeah.
But, like, not everyone can do that, obviously. So I don't know if I would call that a solution for it's like, it's a bit overkill, maybe.
So before we actually be getting close to the end here, like, is there any changes that you might, like, have on your mind that you really want to see in EVE, that you want to see CCP approach? Is there something on your list?
Remove bounty risk modifier.
That's a good one, I think. How about you, Fred or Cracket? I think Fred, you don't care too much about these things, right? Like, that gameplay?
Yeah.
You know?
Because over the years, I heavily relied on Black Ops content, and step by step, CCP reduced my available targets list with the changes. They removed bookmarks from contracts. They reduced escalations spawn rate. They made that sign-up patch, which was really a nail in the coffin. And eventually I realized if I want to get targets, it will become a second job. Not full-time, but something like that. And,
yeah, I can imagine. It's like the Sino Estero thing and all that. Like, not having that makes it so much harder, I can imagine.
They buffed Black Ops, so I can't engage with a solo carrier, for example. Realistically, they told Black Ops pilots, hey, you can fit a Sino. One of the two ship types in EVE, which can utilize a normal Sino. Why don't you do it? Just drop FX with you. And also the Marauder buff. It's really hard to kill a Marauder with a solo Blink Black Ops. You can do it, but it requires a lot of fitting resources and some mind games, maybe.
Yeah,
like fit AB. Fit AB, use some signature drugs, for example. So people started to form up a gank instead of a solo Black Ops. They bring bombers, tech threes, and I don't want to engage that with a carrier as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So I just stopped hunting Black Ops. It's like, it will be a year. I've killed the last one Black Ops in 2 weeks. It was somewhere in March, March 11, I see on Gilbert.
Yeah,
so I focused on AT ship hunting, don't have to wait for targets like in Nullsec for days, can just form up a gank in suitable time and try it.
Yeah, so I looked into like hunting blobs and stuff as well, but in comparison, I started playing way later, obviously, and like by the time I started playing, it just, I don't know, it didn't seem reasonable. Like the time investment was just awful to like actually catch them now.
That's the number one reason, I think, hunters in general. Like, for example, Schwo, we talked about him. Like, he was super dedicated, spies everywhere, scouts everywhere. But yeah, he's kind of inactive now because it's just so much work involved that people don't see necessarily. Especially, I think CCP has no clue. I don't want to.
I mean,
there was some CCP guys earlier. I'm not talking about like Swift and so on. They have a lot of game knowledge, right? They probably know, but like most of them, they don't get like how much work is behind all of this, right? I don't think they understand.
Did you see the last Black Ops video series? Like something like Few Will Hunt.
Yeah, I've seen
the guy. Yeah. The guy hunts marauders with Blue Scout, always the same Tango warps from the Nextdoor system. If you mix up the video parts and put new music, you can easily make up new episode and nobody will notice it. So yeah, like, how much effort should I put to catch such a guy?
Yeah,
makes sense.
That's the argument, right? At some point, it's too much work. It just is.
We use Blue Scouts a lot, and like we'd rather not. Like, it's just you have to. Like the amount of hours we put in, even with Blue Scouts and finding raw cores and stuff. Like we're looking at the map and in-game stuff and different Discord bots we have that one of our guys have made to help us find stuff. Like even with all that, like you go blind burning to a raw core, like you're not catching it 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, same for me. Like, well, for Fraternity, I cloaky camped as well, so I had another way to have eyes there. But like for Horde, just, I don't know. Like if you go in blind with like supers or titans, you're gonna die. It's like it's 100% gonna happen. You can't burn blind to the Destiny with a Sino and just pray. Like, I don't know. There's no other way to do that shit, I think, honestly, at this point. And even like for, I don't know, wailing and stuff, it just, like, well, when I was still in Horde, like as soon as Init pinged, they would just ping red. Like just lock up, everyone get saved. It's like, yeah, well, here we go again.
At some point, we pinged like only Kiki fleets, no matter what we did, and everyone just docked up. And I could see the ping relays just go like XIX, like all of Fire Coalition goes red, all of fucking Panfam goes red. Everyone just goes red, but we're just doing something like completely different anyway. It's like it was just funny as like a side effect. Mm-hmm. At some point, it was just, you know, that's when you know. Maybe, you know, we should slow down a little bit and not hunt that much.
That's one thing I enjoy as well, like randomly logging in my Sinos in the Horde space, just watching them panic and watching the supers unlock and all that. And then just, I don't know, do some work and then log off again.
Yeah, that is good fun.
Yeah, like recently, I don't know if he's still an FC, but like it's a Horde FC and he was running a Crab Beacon in a Rev and like I wasn't set up for anything or just, I just like zoomed my... Mary Razi over and like long pointed him. Oh no, even better. He like put probes out with his Sino and then he cloaked on the same spot. So I just bookmarked it and warped over and like tackled his Sino just as a joke. Mm-hmm. But he heard the like the tackle sound. So he was like panicking and like, oh, Cracker is killing me, apparently. So what he said on comms is what I heard later. And he was just panicking and all that. Like, yeah, I don't know. This is extremely funny to me.
Yeah, there's a few times where we've like pinged. In like a core channel, so like, yeah, I got a route to a Rocco and everyone's busy, or like, Init and Goons are busy, or whatever. And I remember we had a route once, it was like 3 different systems with 3 different Roccos, so we were just going to send Goons to one, Init to another, but everyone was just busy on that day, so we just tackled all 3 of them and just watching all the relays and the panic was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I miss the good old days where we just like jump out of a bomber, I sent everyone to like 5 different Desties. And then, I don't know, 3 Dictors report back, I've got so many Rockers, and then we have to make the decision which group of Rockers we should go on from.
Yeah, that just does not happen anymore at all.
No, sadly, that's not the reality anymore. But yeah, what are you going to do, right?
Like the fleet where I joined, Kappa, I think it was after that fleet, it was like one Russian guy multi-boxing. I think it was like 13 Rocks or something in the same system across like 3 or 4 Anoms or something. It was like one of the 2 or 3 Sabres we had, like pinging around, tackling them all. Like, you don't see that anymore. Like, it's all hogs and stuff now, dude. Like one or like one dude on tether, like tether range with like 20 hogs nearby. It's, I don't know, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, and then they walk to a pause on the same grid, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or next they're gonna like siege down and jump out, dude. Like couldn't have jumped them all out.
I don't think like they don't have to siege anymore, really, right? I mean, they might just siege and tether now.
Yeah, I think they will. They did a lot already. Like the boost range is so insane; they can easily do it.
They just undock siege and just sit on tether, just boosting away to their hulks and grid.
But you know what? I'm telling you, if there's enough rockets in space, even if they're sieged and tether, I think we'll find a way of catching them. They're just gonna be in space, and we'll get them. Maybe not all of them.
The thing is, I would say 8 times out of 10 now we find a rock wall, and it's not sieged; it's just aligning out, boosting away, and it's just it just sucks.
Too. Well, I can find your rocks every day, but they're in frat space and they're in a belt doing a crap beacon.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to kill stuff in AUTC, man, I can hook you up.
Yeah, and AUTC.
No one hunts in frat space, though.
It's a little tricky, in AUTC, in frat space, it's more than just.
We've killed a couple within it, but usually it ends up in us getting stuck and, like, oh, for fuck's sake, here we go again.
Yeah, we don't shy away from a little bit of a challenge. And I think the last Kiki fleet I actually did was a fleet in frat space where actually the target wasn't the rockets. I wanted to really bomb that massive Mulan fleet that always form two shit, and man, did we get close. We came out even, and it was okay-ish, but man, we were so close. I had to be mad at myself that we didn't catch him clean, right?
But I was watching that one because there was a dread, like I think 3 jumps out doing a crab beacon, and then I saw like intel, I saw it pop up, so I just burned over instead of watching.
All right,
it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. Maybe with the bomb buff now, maybe, you know, we get another shot at it. Because the bomb buff is technically, it's like 24% kind of roundabout, 23-24% like damage buff to a squad, right? Because...
Yeah, plus they fixed the thing, right? If you're all covert 5, you no longer kill one of the bombs.
Yeah.
They fixed that as well. That's pretty big.
So, technically now, instead of 36,000 damage you would have from a full squad of 6, you can now have, I believe, man, we did the math, I think now you can have 7 bombs, and it adds up to 47,000 damage. So technically that's 2 good, if you land 2 good squads on non-ADC Munans, they should be dead, right? They should be dead. So, and you have some damage over, which you should always calculate in, I guess. So maybe there's some more potential coming up. But then how do you land bombs on Munans, right? Not that easy. Not that easy.
Well, it's got to be battleship fleets now, right?
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think if I'm in a Kiki fleet, I might as well enjoy fighting battleships more than Munans, to be honest.
Yeah, I was thinking as well. If you start orbiting close, like...
Yeah,
even true. If they're like tracking fit and stuff, you should be able to sick deck them really hard.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's like Vindicators and Bargons, you know, and they might be too shit. They'll have a couple of these, so we'll see. We'll see. You know, I'm kind of hyped for the battleship buff, but I'm not sure if it's, you know, it's not the holy grail of buffs. It really isn't. I think people are getting a little bit too hyped. At the start, it's going to be really fun. The meta is going to develop, and I think it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, like the battleships we fly with snuff dudes, like they're really tanky already. It's going to be pretty nuts now, like if you're enslaved and stuff.
Yep. But yeah, guys, we are well over actually. Oh, not well over, but yeah, 10 minutes over. I would say if you guys don't have anything you want to get, like any thought you want to get rid of here, would say thanks for coming on, and I enjoyed it very much. And to everyone on stream, thanks for hanging out. Special thanks to Lowland's mom and dad.
Right. Fucking idiots,
it didn't go unnoticed. But yeah, guys, thanks for coming on, and it was nice talking to you.
Cheers, Bande.
See you.
Thanks for the invite.
And bye bye.